Hello and welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast, where anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get clear on how to build a business like nobody else's business. We are your hosts, Dawn Petrin and Elisa Jackheim, and together we co-create the All Connected Agency, where we help the wellness industry's most disruptive thought leaders express their essence louder and prouder to bring more profitability and possibility. Now that you're here, it's your turn. And today we had the amazing Jenny Glick on to speak about all things building a soul-aligned business and learning how to listen to your body when you are making decisions for your business and your life. So what else did we talk about? We spoke about how to build offers that come from deep within, how to build a business from a nourished and nurtured place that in turn nurtures and nourishes you. We spoke a little bit about the elephant in the living room of the wellness industry. So many wellness entrepreneurs are operating from burnout and adrenal fatigue. And we spoke about how to move towards more alignment, again, more nourishment and nurturing. And Jenny's course is Your Marriage is Your Ashram and Her Life is Her Ashram. So we spoke about how to approach all aspects of your life and business as a mystery school. So with that in mind, let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we have the incredibly amazing, wonderful, special, lovely, brilliant, beautiful Jenny Glick with us. You know, before I met Jenny, I heard about Jenny from a number of people, and they were like, you have to meet her. She's so cool. And it wasn't even about working together or anything else. It was just like, you would love her. And yeah, and then we met and we do love Jenny. So what I have to say about Jenny is that she has a course called Your Marriage is Your Ashram. And every single person who's taken that course says that it absolutely changed their entire lives and helped them become more themselves than they were before, and also helped them realize that like their relationship wasn't it. Like they didn't need to solve anything in their relationships. They just really needed to learn how to listen to themselves. So Jenny is Jenny, I'll let you say all of the different certifications that you had or that you have. But these days she works as a relationship coach, I guess is what you would call yourself, as well as a torchbearer for women. And she really is ushering in this new time where women get to prioritize themselves and their own pleasure and watch all of their relationships sort of flourish and develop from there. So Jenny, we are so happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Dawn and Elisa. So great to be here. Two of my favorite people in the softpreneur space and just on this planet. So it's been such a gift to get to know you both so much better over the last year. So I'm thrilled.
Yay, us too. I actually have a funny story of where Jenny and I started following each other probably like 6 months before we really connected. And I would just like watch her in her stories and she'd be like hiking in the mountains or like playing on her gong. And I was like, this woman belongs in my life. And it's true. And here she is. And Jenny, the first question we love to ask people is, do you have a spiritual practice? And if so, is there anything that you'd like to share about it?
I do. I've had spiritual practices for 30 years and I have a variety of them because I have a high need for variety. And as soon as I want to make one thing the practice every single day, I start to push up against it. And it's taken me a while to learn that that's just part of my design. It's not that I'm wrong and bad and I'm not a good spiritual acolyte. It's that variety is part of what feeds me and nourishes me. And so presently, my spiritual practice includes always being up before dawn. I go to bed at 8 o'clock, so I don't set an alarm. It's very easy. And my back porch opens to the east and I have a drum, actually a new drum that I just made over the weekend. And so I walk around the desert drumming and getting that first fresh sun in my eyes as it comes over Mount Ryson, which is to the east of where I live. And then I do a variety of things. Right now, I'm back into morning pages, which it was something that I did for many years. So I'm dipping into that again. I have a variety of different spiritual texts that I sit with, oracle cards that I work with, candles that I like. I often do movement in the morning, a la five rhythms. So I have sort of a grab bag and I allow my soul to invite me to what do I want to work with? Essential oils or nature or movement, song, singing, gong, harmonium, whatever it is. And that is like a 3-hour situation. And then I walk my dog. My husband and I walk every morning 2.5 miles and we have our tea and talk. And really, I think the practice is being in awe of life, very first thing. And so the birds singing, the bees coming out, the birds on our fountain, the clouds, it's so magnificent. So it's really being in the magnificence of the morning.
Yay. I love that. Being in awe of life is so, I mean, I think that's it. Maybe being in awe of life and then in service of life, that might be it. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. And perhaps I'll have you on another pod to really talk about your spiritual journey even further, because I know, yeah, there's a lot of juice there. So if you're not following Jenny already, you should go and follow her and get on her email list, because the story she could tell you about spiritual practices and moving through them. And then I love this, like, embracing variety and allowing it to come back to that offing is so, so beautiful. So,
yeah, I wanted to speak to Jenny. When we first interacted with your work, one of the things that really struck me was this idea, like, you about women tending their flame in life and in business. And a lot of your teachings, Jenny, that I've experienced are really around being more oneself, being yourself. And so I'd so love to hear about how that has served you as a business owner, stepping into like your authenticity or your you-ness or the song of yourself more and more as you go.
It's served me tremendously. And it's also been probably the most rigorous path of my own becoming, which is in part one of the many reasons why I love what the two of you are doing, because it's such a spiritual birth for those of us who are called to birth ourselves anew and a true more and more through our business, and not something that I knew was going to be my path. But I think that what has changed for me along the way, what I didn't know in the beginning, I thought I was just running a business. That was where I started. I'm trained as a therapist, a sex therapist. I had a brick and mortar practice in Denver, Colorado. It was very successful. I had multiple clinicians who worked for me. So from the outside, people in my world were like, you made it. You're 45. You made it. You have a nice home. You have all the things. And I was like, this isn't fully me. And I knew it wasn't fully me because I was restless. And I knew enough about who I was at that point to know it wasn't necessarily about growing bigger. And that's what my coaches at the time were like, oh, open more centers, do more of this thing. That's why you're restless. And looking back, I can see that it wasn't because I was restless because I didn't have enough. It was because it wasn't a true fit for my true self. And so I moved into the online space in 2018, sold my business. Then we moved to Mexico. And really the floodgates opened at that point, because once I formally really stepped more in the coaching world, I saw the potential, yes, for in profit and wealth, and also for freedom in really coming into deep alignment and no longer calling myself a therapist and finding words like you all came up with the word torchbearer when we were working together, which feels like it really fits for me because I'm a woman who goes first. I'm willing to step out and go first. And so I've been birthing my business, but my business has been birthing me. Right. And when I have business doulas like the two of you in my world who are able to see parts of me that I don't always see readily, it's really helpful to pull that red thread, that true line out. And who I am now compared to 6 years ago is it's like those Russian dolls that you just keep opening and opening. It's like more potent and more seamless and more me. And I love it. Like, I absolutely love what I do. I cannot imagine ever retiring because it keeps me on the path of myself and in this spiritual way of becoming more me and being of service to other women and couples as well. So did I answer your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And another aspect that strikes me too is how much you speak to pleasure and finding like the feminine way of doing and being in business. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit as well.
Yes. And again, this has taken me a while. Like, I've had to go through abandoning myself. And I think that part of what, both in business and in marriage, because for me, they're very similar, how it is that many of us as women can be in marriage where we abandon ourselves, we put everybody else's needs first. And then in business, we put everything else, all of our to-dos first. And because we're so relationally oriented, because we are hardwired to want to connect and we want our community to thrive and we don't want people not to like us, it's not that we're all codependent. It's that we're deeply relational beings, that it sets us up, especially if we tend to be very focused or high performing women or, you know, those kinds of things. It sets us up to not tend to our own fire and flame, because we're going to put the good of our clients or population or family or business before ourselves. And like so many of my colleagues and friends, I chose the intense path of getting to a place where I was putting so much of my business before me. I wouldn't say I was burned out, but I was losing the juice and the joy for what I was doing. And so that huge course correct to come back to what pleasure was, because for a long time for me, pleasure was productivity. So the thing that I enjoyed was like going through my emails, signing a new client, hitting my numbers. And that felt, I was getting those dopamine hits all the time, that taking a walk in the desert in the morning, you know, for an hour did not do it for me. And so given the choice, I would work. And decoupling that practice included me doing a lot of somatic work and coming back into the sensations of my body and recognizing how my nervous system, my system was so gripped. I was so gripped and clenched that it was really hard. It's really hard to feel pleasure when you're really gripped and clenched and you don't realize you're gripped and clenched because you're being efficient and you're getting through things and you're driven, right? And I was a reasonably driven person. And so, yeah, that spiral dance over the last 3 years, as I've come off of ignoring what my body was telling me and pushing through it and instead really listening to the wisdom of my body. And the best part is I can feel good. I can have pleasure. I can have a 3-hour morning practice and I can still have the kind of reach that I'm interested in and work with amazing people, collaborate with amazing people, and still pay my mortgage and take care of my family. Like all of those things, like wealth is all of those things. And so it's really a joy to be able to live that and to share that with other women and women entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I love that, especially this part of like bringing up like wealth is so many things and that we get kind of like trapped. I want to say trapped. You weren't trapped. But we get in this loop almost of like samsara where we are following the path put in front of us, you know, or shown this is how it works. And I think it does feel good for a while when it's working, because working good feels good, right? Like, oh, like you said, productivity, but also just like knowing that what you're doing is serving and that people are enjoying it. We did a lot of that last year where we like overserved. And it felt good for a while until all of a sudden, like you said, we could kind of feel it in our bodies and maybe we weren't like feeling as well. And this actually brings me back to something you were speaking about at the beginning when you had an in-person practice and you were feeling this restlessness. And I wonder if you can speak to what this like restlessness feels like in case any of our listeners are feeling something but naming it something different.
The restlessness in my body felt like an agitation, almost like an impatience, and at the same time like a hunger or wanting to grow or do. And I've had amazing coaches along the way, and they met certain parts of me, but didn't meet other parts of me, right? And so my coach at the time was meeting that restlessness, saying, you're hitting this productivity ceiling. So this is the time to build more team, get another office, do these other, you know, sort of tasks that would make sense on paper. And just the cool, exciting part of being an entrepreneur, a softpreneur, the way that we are, and those of you who are listening, is that in those choice points with your coaches or mentors or guides that you have, you get to really feel into, are they working with the aspect of me that I want to flourish, right? And at the time, you know, I was in Denver and sort of this Cherry Creek area was very nice area. I had a great successful business. And the part of me, I could have done what they said, right? I could have opened a second building and started franchising or whatever. I have the capacity for that. This is why it's so important to have a practice of internal listening, right? Of deep listening and knowing that, like, that's not for me right now, and not because I can't do it. And I think it's taken the last 5 years for me to separate, divorce those things, that it's not about I can't. And sometimes in the coaching world with coaches that I had, they would see me and say, oh, you need more team, or here's where you're stuck. And it's why I think it's so important to have a spiritual practice as an entrepreneur, because you have to know yourself and what you're here to bring forward. Otherwise, the loudest voice in the room, you're going to follow that, right? And it may be successful on paper, which is amazing, but it may not be the truth of who you are, as one of our favorite coaches calls it, right? It might not be that full expression of you. Yes. The you-iest you is the path that we follow, right?
It's beautiful because you're like the course, your marriage is your ashram. I think Mercury go retro, you guys?
I think it did. Oh, you know what? If this was going to happen, good thing it happened with me. Because Adam
cool. All connected family inside.
All connected fam in the house.
Exactly.
It's all good. We got the baby. We got a whole lot of life going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong with that. So you're at home with Theo all day then.
Yeah. I'm at home with Theo and the dog and the cat. I mean, it's a good flow. I'm enjoying it. It's so different. Like, so having like a more solitary experience right now is like, that word has so many connotations, but I am enjoying it very much.
It's so good to have that space from our beloveds. My husband is got an office, so he's going to be working at an office in like 2 weeks. And it's been so nice to have him here, you know, because we do these long mornings and we have lunch and blah, 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 but we're like constantly in each other's, you know, and it really collapses the eros a little bit. You know, it's like, I want you to go to work so you can come home. I can be like, how was work? Instead of like, I know how it was because I just saw you 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. And that's kind of an interesting topic, maybe something you want to touch on in terms of like that, like work from home life and then like relationships and work from home and like how, yeah, like how you keep that alive in these like weird, like,
yes,
spatial way that we all are right now. Yeah.
Like to see each other all the time. And when Toby was Theo's age, like Greg would be gone for like 14 hours. You know, I was like, bye bye at 5 a.m. And he'd come home at like 8 or 9 because he was in medical training school. And it was like, okay, now how am I going to entertain this 2-year-old for 14 hours? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love it for you. And so special. It's so great, you know, because it disappears. So it's so special.
Yeah,
when it's
there. Exactly. Well, I guess since we are recording, I can ask you my follow-up question. And this is just going to be such a woven. Yeah. So it's beautiful because your course being your marriage is your ashram. And then the way I and Don have witnessed you, like the business feels like an ashram as well. And everything you, every choice I've seen you make as a business owner has been highly intentional and highly energetic. And I feel like you dance business as this energetic experience that it's like, yes, we're all businesswoman or the softpreneur thing, but it's like spiritpreneur too, right? There's something very like for visionary women taking this invitation to be spiritual or softpreneurs is like this really cool way that we have right now to grow spiritually and like pass the torch to other, often women, I will say, but to others who want to live a different kind of life that this age affords right now.
Yes, to all of that. And I think back to your first questions about what my spiritual practice is, it's knowing that this is my mystery school, right? That this whole life is my mystery school for me. And so it's such an invitation, everything to come into more and more alignment, not through a lens of perfection, but a lens of what's my soul's call around pricing, around whatever a launch is, which I'm not using that word anymore because it, you know, I have old trauma around the launch word, right? And so every piece of it gets to be by design through me and what feels like it feeds and nourishes me, which is back to that, both the spiritual practice and tending to your fire every day is choosing to nourish and feed ourselves through every last aspect of what we do as women who are birthing literally new paradigms for others to step into right now. It's a big deal, right? And it's also like a really fun deal, right?
Yes. What does it feel like when you are in your business and you're not listening to the call of spirit?
Yeah, yeah. So I feel myself in my body, in one of my coaches, Whitney Lowry, talks about your front body, like being in my front body. So this agitated, angsty feeling of leaning forward, if you can't see me, like leaning forward, neck craning, needing to like hurry up. And I have to get back to that email. I haven't posted anything today. And it feels energetically from a place, a frequency of scarcity and lack. And if I don't do this, they won't come, right? And so when I write an email because I have to, because they won't come, that feels very different than being a good steward of my business and the space that I tend. So I think about my email list as my living room. So these are beautiful human souls who are here, and I can light candles and walk through the living room periodically to let them know I'm still here. That's all I'm doing. I'm still here and I'm offering something in the kitchen if you'd like to join me and admit there is an investment there in order to come into the kitchen. But I'm just letting you know because you're already in my living room. You're already here. You already said yes. And so when I come to my business, my work, my contribution, I like to call it in that way, it feels very different than when I worked with coaches and they're like, you have to email 5 times a day, every day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if that is devoid of the connection of the human lives, right? Like they're not assets, they're human beings with hearts and, you know, perspectives and they receive us, right? So the first part of our digestive system is our eyes. And so they're taking us in with our words and our eyes. And so really learning over the last many years as I've become more awake to the vibration of my words and how it is that I want the women on my list to receive me feels really important, and to be a good steward of the food, the nourishment, the words, the energetic signal that I am offering to them, and not just pounding out some email because I have to. That feels like a violation because they chose to be in my living room.
That's so beautiful. I love that idea. And I feel like then you might not feel like you're spamming people because you're really not trying to sell. Not trying to sell, but and I feel with your emails, they're, you know, each of them really is a connection point and an opportunity for conversation. But I love this idea of the living room in the kitchen. And, you know, sure, there's an investment and sometimes there's not, right? And the investment is always there because even like our attention is a really strong investment, right? And one thing I've seen with you is like so many of your ladies just keep coming back, even though they won't have that problem anymore. like you actually help them solve their relationship issues, but they keep on wanting to hang out with you. And I do think it's because you create a space where they are in the intimacy of your home, not in a creepy way. Yeah. Okay. So what does it feel like when you're making decisions in your business that feel like they are really aligned with you and are coming from the call of spirit?
Yes. And so that front body feeling, it's the opposite of that for me. So it's feeling in my back body, that restful posture, a place of not just surrender, like, oh, I'm just throwing this out and whatever happens, happens, which can be a kind of self-abandonment thing and not really owning your desire or what you want. It's tricky business, like really paying attention to everything that's happening inside of us. But when I put something out that feels really good and also for me, edgy, because I'm always exploring my edges. That's how I know I'm alive. And that's part of why it is that I'm a torchbearer, is that I'm not here to play it safe. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just not what I'm designed to do. I'm designed to play on the edges. And so for me, I locate that safety in my body. Like I'm safe regardless of how this is received, and feeling really connected and grounded to myself through my grounding cord deep into the earth, like really grounded that this decision is a decision of full expression, of invitation, of, you know, whatever it might be. And I don't feel grippy or sticky about the outcome. I hope they like me. I need to have this many people sign up. Really finding that, and I don't love the word balance, but it's being in that dance of having goals and visions for numbers or money or impact, whatever, you know, your lens is, and also holding that with an open palm, right? And being deeply aligned with your why. And for me, it's around the mystery school and around offering opportunities, containers, and offerings for women that feel so nourishing. And so squaring myself with that first in my body. And that's a practice all day long, right? Coming back into my body to know what safety feels like. When I started really doing work around safety in my body, it shocked me how unsafe I feel, even though I have a very safe environment on paper, right? Because I have had a practice of putting a boot on the back of my neck for everything. I need to lose weight. I need to make more money. I need to hire another clinician. I need to clean my house. I need to whatever. There's like one more thing after another. And so that's very front body, like reaching for safety. I'll be safe when I have this much money in the bank or when I have produced whatever this outcome is. And that is something that I trained in my nervous system. And I think a lot of women and entrepreneurs have trained in their bodies. And so it can feel really hard to know what safety feels like in our bodies. And safety is a prerequisite to pleasure, right? And so why it is that I teach so much about pleasure and desire and getting clear on your yeses and your nos with women is because the foundation of that is safety. And if you're not safe, none of it matters, because then you're completely dysregulated and you're trying to kind of cookie monster eat all the cookies in life, and you're never going to be full. It's never going to be enough. You won't ever be satiated. And so when we locate that nourishment, that safety within, then we can make decisions where we can hold the outcome with an open palm, even though we might be disappointed that we didn't, you know, achieve what it was that we wanted to. That's just normal human. Right.
Okay. That cookie monster analogy is the best, because I remember being a kid and being like, the cookies are just falling out of his mouth. Right. And I feel that sometimes in business too. And I think, you know, we have a negativity bias as humans. And so, you know, if we have, let's say we do a whole bunch of work with different clients and all of it goes really well, and then one thing doesn't go that well, I'm like, ah,
do I need to quit? Should I burn it down? Am I even serving people? You know, and then it's like, luckily I have people to remind me, like, first of all, you can't equate your worth with your results every single time. Like, it just can't be like you're good when it's going good and you're bad when it's going bad. And then secondly, a lot of the time it really has nothing to do with us. It, even in our own, like, for, I mean, we're doing marketing for other people. So there's that. But also I think it in your own business, it has nothing to do with you. It's not you that's a problem. Right. And it can be a lot and it can feel unsafe. And it's hard to receive the nourishment if you're pushing it away all the time and just holding on to the stuff that makes you clench up. And actually that leads me to another question, which is, what does it mean to be well nourished as an entrepreneur and as a woman?
That's an amazing question and one that I would invite your listeners to really explore, right? To get really clear on what nourishment feels like in your body. And start being that now. Start practicing what that's like. And that's part of my morning practice that goes on for hours. That's part of being well-nourished now, rather than what I used to do was, oh, I can have 2 or 3 hours in the morning when I hit these goals that I didn't hit. And then I was always starving, right, in a very malnourished state, which caused arguments with my husband. Because I'm like, well, I can't do this because blah, 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 all the stories that I had, right? And so learning to be well-nourished, it is a commitment. It's a spiritual practice every day. And a big part of it, and I learned this in my 20 years of being a clinician with women and marriage mostly, is that we're not used to being seen, witnessed, loved, nourished in intimate partnership either. So then we can take that template and just shift it over into our business. And then we've got all of our energy into our businesses. And yes, we can get accolades and, you know, beautiful branding and clients who love us. But if we don't know what it feels like to be full, to be sated, right, then we become the cookie monster thing. And when we swing all of our attention onto our businesses, then we're ignoring our intimate partnership, which is so easy to do as an entrepreneur, because in business, there's always something new. There's always something to post. There's always an interesting new person to collab with. Like, there's so much. And then, you know, for me, I have the same dude I've been with for almost 27 years. Like, boring. Like, that's not very interesting. No, he's super interesting. But it's really easy, right, to fall into, like, that's not as interesting as this, you know, Instagram post or whatever it is that I'm working on, you know, launch, whatever.
I love that so much. And I feel like maybe the, like, elephant in the softpreneur living room is that a lot of wellness practitioners, coaches who are very successful in online business are operating from states of, like, burnout or adrenal fatigue or hustle culture. And they get accolades and they get celebrated for all the outward success and the followers. But I think, like, us here and probably most people who are listening, like, you can achieve that kind of success, but is it, like, the fully embodied success that most of us are looking for is one question. And Jenny, I feel like you've done some, like, smoking out the shadows of the, like, wellness and coaching industry in terms of, like, where, you know, where women are actually operating from burnout or hustle instead of their a nourished place. And it can feel fearful to, like, put the nourishment or the security or the safety first, like, in anything, right? Like, can I operate from my back body when I move through the world?
Absolutely. And I think part of the gift that I bring and why it is that women often stay in my sphere for a long time is because I'm pretty darn coherent. Like, how I am here is how I am at home. I have had several retreats down in Tubac, Arizona, where I live, and my clients come to my house. I mean, they come to my house and have body treatment done with my husband, who does, you know, tuning forks and does sound healing. But I'm a boundaried open book. And so I think in this space that we have with all the lifestyle coaches and the Instagram and the, like, bikinis on Bali and, like, whoa, you want to have my lifestyle. I'm selling you my lifestyle, which, amazing For some people, that totally works. And for me, I'm so interested in like the truth of it. Like really, are you actually making a profit? Do you have the kind of wealth and nourishment that those pictures show? And I'm very frank, especially with the women who are entrepreneurs that I do guide, about my numbers, because there's a, you can generate $1 million, but if you don't have wealth and the kind of profit and the kind of savings or investment or whatever it is that you want, you can be running in the deficit, which I've worked with many, many people, women entrepreneurs like that. So they're hitting, you know, multiple six, seven, sometimes eight figures, but they're in the red because of all of the outgo. And to me, that creates so much disharmony energetically. Not that we can't have our own stuff, right? Like, I teach about relationships. My relationship is not always hunky-dory, right? And it's still my mystery school. So I don't turn away from it. I go into the fire and I go into it with guides and coaches of my own, knowing that this is part of an initiation for me. And so I'm so interested in how it is as women leaders that we bring that sober coherence to what we're doing so that we're not selling something that's not real, right? Because that sets us up. Can I tell a story about that in a coaching container that I was in? One of my first coaching containers, really amazing. It's a very well-known space, but I did really well because I'm a good A student. You tell me what to do and I do it. So I did all the things. I was working 70, 80 hours a week, and I was, you know, hitting 40K, 50K on the road to 100K months. We were living in Mexico. My husband was surfing all day and like having a grand old time. My son was in high school in Puerto Vallarta, and I was like in four walls on a computer doing calls and delivering program and doing all this stuff. And this coaching group was really, what's that word, like wooing me to get me into their like millionaire club that was then $75,000, $80,000 a year. And I had saved the money to go in, and I thought I was going to sign up with them, even though I was like, oh my gosh, what is this going to require of me? But they were like, you're amazing. You know, all those accolades that I love, you know, I'm like, I want to be the best student. I want to be the teacher's pet. So I was on this was August 2020 when everything was what it was. It was a Zoom like seminar thing that they were doing with like potential clients. So there were like 200, 300, 400 people in the Zoom thing. And they were like, Jenny Glick, we want to feature you. So they did this live. I didn't know they were going to do this. I was there, and the head salesperson started saying, Jenny Glick is amazing. And he started selling me to me. He started sharing my life to me. And I was like, that's a lie. I mean, on paper, it was true. We bought a house for cash in Mexico. My husband was surfing. We did leave. Like, the data points he shared, those were true. What he didn't share was I was resentful as anything. I was sitting on a phone all the time, you know, doing sales calls, delivering, creating Facebook ads. He did not share the other part. And in that moment, I was like, it's like I woke up and I realized, I want to start crying as I'm saying this, like, this is not me, you know, like, yes, I can do all of this, but this is not like the wholeness of who I am, right? And it was such a gift because I took that $80,000, I did not give it to them. And I decided, like, I got to figure out another way. Right. And that's the thing that lights me up in life, is there's always, if there's this way, door A or door B, there's a third door, right? There's another door to go down. And that third door for me was really finding myself. Right. And then it has been a process, which is beautiful because it shouldn't happen overnight. How boring would that be? You know, if you just open a door and magically you were all you. And so I've got to work with different coaches and teams. It's how I found the both of you, which has been such a gift. And it will just continue. And so I felt in my body in that moment a big fat no, even though my mind was like, yeah, but I could make $1 million, you know, like, who cares about 400K if you can make $1 million? So my mind had a different agenda than my body. And I listened to my body, and I haven't regretted it for a moment.
And you teach women how to do that now, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. I think maybe as one of the last things we speak about, I would love to hear about your creation process around the year of you. And, you know, I know that was like, it went really well for you and you loved it and you loved delivering on it. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit, because we were recently teaching about offers in our Holistic Business Society. And actually now I'm like, oh, we should have got Jenny to come in and teach about it around the year of you and also around the year-ish of you, which is, you know, the next iteration that you're creating right now. So if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what the offer is, how it came to be, and why it feels like both you and in service to your clients, I would love to know.
Sure. So what I used to do, my kind of bread and butter before the year of you, were high ticket coaching packages that were $6,000-$7,000 for 2 months, 3 months, something like that. And I felt very tired. I don't want to say burned out. It felt very misaligned to do that because I was always looking at like next month, next month, next month. So I went to, we had moved back to Arizona by then, and I went to Mexico with two girlfriends who I love, who are business owners. And during that, we were doing masterminds. And one of the women in my mastermind, Megan, she was really helping me through like, what do I want? And so I said, if I could do it anyway, I would create a year-long program. So I'm not doing like every single month trying to get sales, you know, more clients. It would be a year-long situation. It would be something that would require an investment, but it wouldn't break the bank. Like women who were really interested could step in. And I don't want to have a curriculum. I just want to play. And it will be whatever it is, you know, two group calls a month, a handful of privates. And then I just want to allow creativity and variety to lead the way. So I launched that last year, and it was $7,500 for the whole year, or $725, I think, a month. And I had 28 women sign up in 2 weeks, and I closed the doors, and it was so fun and so amazing. And as I started it, I started inviting in friends of mine who are pleasure coaches and somatic wealth coaches. So then every month we had like a guest speaker who would come. I sent everybody gifts every month. It was such a fun experience for me to do something that felt so good and that was enjoyable. My whole year felt like I was on a playground. And this year I'm reinventing it. So it's a year-ish of you. So it's 6 months instead, and I've shifted the pricing so that it's less even, which has been an interesting process too, to be with that, because it's not that I have like some money mindset block. It's that I'm very interested in what I'm calling dignity pricing, to have the opportunity, because so many of my women have worked with me for years, some for like 10, 12 years. And I want for them to have an opportunity to find the price that works best for them. So it's somewhere between like $350 to $750 range. And I have those laid out for them. And that feels really joyful. It feels really generous, and not in a way where it's the codependent thing that women entrepreneurs can overgive, right? It's not coming from that place, but I've really been sitting with it. And you both know this, having had conversation with me for about 2 or 3 weeks, like really sitting with and allowing the numbers to come forward from a very clean space that feel good for me. So that's what's happening. And there will be some pop-ups over that 6 months. And I'm delighted to be able to be so creative in my business and not be worried about the numbers, because the truth is it always works out.
The truth is it always works out. And especially if we take action, right? Like we've spoken about like our holistic business method, which is like spirit first, do it as stewardship. Marketing can be a healing modality. So maybe don't hide so much and then take action, right? And I think it's the taking action part that is, we talk about that as like, maybe that's like the masculine part of like the softpreneurialism is taking action. And I think this like testing of the dignity pricing thing, that's like taking action in an interesting way for you, where you will discover if it works for your people and then if it works for you, and you can always do something different in the future. And I think when we put too much of like
this needs to make 50K MRR. Otherwise, I'm not worthy. Not only is my business not worthy or is this offer not worthy, but unless every month I'm bringing in six figures, I'm even bringing it bigger, right? Then like, I'm not good anymore. I think that takes the play away and the pleasure. And it's been really cool to be watching you create this and be a little bit like, oh my gosh, does this even make sense? Like, how do I feel about it? How much? Yeah. It's been really fun to watch you and be with you through the process. And I love this. It's all going to work out anyway, because I'm going to continue taking action.
Yes. Thank you for noting that, because I am someone who I take action all the time. And I forget that some people are not action takers like me. And I know it always works out because I always will do something. I'm not a hider. That's why I'm a torchbearer. I go out first. Like, I will do that. And that's part of my nature. And it's part of what is cool and so important about having business doulas like the both of you in people's worlds is because you can mirror. I tend to not sit back. I need people who will give me permission to do less, like Dawn and Elisa in the container that we are in together, because I tend to overact, right? And this is part of what entrepreneurship will teach us.
I love this so much. And something I just wanted to highlight that I feel like has been coming up beautifully in this conversation is just this idea of who are you being right now in your business? And coming from like abundance or prosperity, like, because I see so many entrepreneurs who think that they can delay their pleasure, their nourishment, their gratification. Like, they're just in that mode of fight or flight until they get to a place where they feel like they then can relax or receive the fruits and all of that. But what I've seen more and more, and I feel like this conversation has been speaking to that, is like, what are you doing right now? Because those are the seeds that you're planting. And as your business grows, you're going to be the same business owner with the same patterns and the same nervous system situation right now as you are like further down the line. And I feel like, Jenny, do you have any for the softener in the making who maybe is finding herself more in fight or flight or not so nourished right now? What are the go-tos? How can you begin to calibrate if you feel like pretty like that maybe feels kind of far away?
I think some of the simplest actions to take are to start to tune into yourself, start to listen to the simplest things. So the moment you wake up in the morning, my practice is hand on my heart, is to greet myself before I greet the day. So hand on heart, hand on belly or womb, and to do that, tune in. It's a way of saying, I got you, right? There's so many simple, nourishing ways of being with ourselves. And most of us want to be nourished by our partner, you know, our beloved, our business, our bank account, all the things. But if we don't have those receptors open in ourselves, it's the cookie monster effect, right? And so hand on heart, hand on womb, first thing in the morning for 5 seconds. It's no big deal, right? Like, I got you. Here we are. Every single time you walk past a mirror and you catch a glimpse of yourself, give yourself adoring eyes, right? Again, as women, we're so taught to criticize our body or our aging or, you know, whatever, our hair, whatever it is. And those are little tiny cuts throughout the day that we perpetrate on ourselves, right? And then we think we're going to go be brave on an email or something after we've been bullying ourselves in really small unconscious ways, withholding nourishment from ourselves with food, starving ourselves, not moving. So in very basic terms, for me, tending to this temple of my body is number one, and ensuring that I have good water and nutrients and earth time and sun time. And that is a non-negotiable, because if this is not nourished and tend to, then what I'm showing up with you all, with my clients, it's subpar. And then I'm just furthering the scarcity of our world where we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm so this. And we're so trained to that's like a good thing. It means that we're being productive because I haven't had a good night's sleep or good food and my partner and I are arguing. You know, I dream of a world where we share, like, oh my gosh, I'm sleeping so well. I have an amazing sex life and I have enough money in the bank. Like, life is great. And that's the norm. And so I think start with your body in simple ways. Water yourself. Get up every 30 minutes if you're in front of a computer and move your body. Have a dance break. That throughout your day, 6, 8, 10 times a day will nourish you deeply so that you can be the torchbearer in your own life, right?
Yay. I was going to ask you what your vision was for the collective. I feel like you just told us, but is there anything else you'd like to add to it?
Yeah, it is really that where we are deeply, I believe that women who are deeply nourished, when we're deeply safe and nourished, we can contribute and create and birth new realities, babies, creative projects, relationships, because we are the hub. Right? We're the center of our families, of our communities, of our nations. And so tending to ourselves in a responsible way means that we can then tend to others. It's not a selfish act. It's the most powerful action that we can take so that we can be co-creators, because we're here to create. We're not here to consume, right? We're here to create. So that's my vision.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
I would love to let your listeners know that Dawn and Elise are amazing. They've been one of the best gifts in my business life. And they did not know I was going to say this. So they didn't put me up to this, but they've just been so incredible. And I'm just their biggest fans. It's been an extraordinary ride to have them see me and to be able to do copy work for me in a way that no one else has done. And I've been at this for 20 years. So that's a huge blessing. And I look forward to collaborating with these two amazing humans in some pop-ups moving forward. And they created an awesome pleasure quiz for me. So that will probably be in the show notes if you would like to find out your pleasure archetype, courtesy of Elise and Dawn and Jenny Glick. And yeah, just go put your heart out there and let life be your mystery school, because it's just such a gift that we get to be on this earth at this time.
Yay. Thank you so much. That was I will receive. If our people, because they're going to want to find you and get more from you, where are the best places for them to find you?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram, and that's at Jenny_Glick, or my website, jennyglick.com. You can get on my email list. And yeah, super easy to find and come in my world and hang out with me.
Thank you so much for being here, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you both. I love you both so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love. Okay.